Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from Richmond Arms, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show right now on the Press Box on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Coming to you live from Richmond Arms. If you want to start your Friday the right way and be a part of the fun games and shenanigans that is ESPN Radio, come on by and see us. It's really convenient. It's right between Chimney Rock and Fountain View on Richmond. It's the number one soccer bar in the city of Houston. It's Houston's best soccer bar as voted, but it's more so than that. I mean, Euro 2020 starting tomorrow, but the fact is Monday and Tuesday are big games. Croatia, Spain, France, and Switzerland, England and Sweden, Germany and Ukraine. Doesn't matter if you have an affiliation of one of those teams, you're a big soccer fan like Glenn Davis, and you just want a place to hang out with other soccer-minded people, come on by here and get in here, and you can be a part of it. You can also reserve party space so you can watch the games, richmondarmspub.com/houston.com. But just stop on by. Promo team here today, giving away a lot of goodies, and, of course, a lot of listeners. As I mentioned, Donna's here, Bo's here, Paul's here, the whole crew's here. So stop in, make some new friends, have some good food and beverage, and have some good time with us as well.
Yeah, looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to get busier a little bit later, too, man. There's going to be a lot more people drinking, eating food. I had the boneless wings, were fantastic.
Yeah, the fries are fantastic.
I went with the barbecue boneless wings. They've got tenders, they've got wings, they've got the traditional wings. They obviously have that, I guess, the touchless menu. You should just come over here and scan the little barcode. And
Bo went fish and chips on us. Yeah, it says it's can't miss. Every time he's here, he's got to have it.
Well, if it's a soccer bar, I guess that makes sense, right?
Yep.
Yeah, an English bar, I should say.
With a soccer tendency.
Exactly.
Let's do that. It's kind of like if you're a football player with a massage tendency.
I do feel like it's a mistake for
these
me.
These things happen.
Not paying attention to
different, though. I mean, it's a rub and pub, not a rub and tug, Bo. I'm just clarifying for the people. This is the pub atmosphere you want to be at when you want people to rub the right way, rubbing elbows, drinking beer. Thank you. I'm here for that. I try to do that on a daily basis. So news of the day, as we were talking about it, I don't know that we've even graced or touched on this even remotely, but the Suns lost to the Clippers last night, and Chris Paul didn't exactly play well. Tonight, the Bucks are going to look to try and even the series with the Hawks at home. And, hey, it might start with getting a little bit of like a heating pad on Ice Trey and kind of keeping him on the side, or at least neutralizing him. Because if you can't stop Trey Young, you may be done sooner rather than later if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. Astros continue to win. They won again last night. Now they're looking for a franchise-tying best 12th straight win in any regular season. Fromber gives you a good indication of the chance. You have a good chance if he's on the hill and he's pitching tonight against the Tigers. So there's that and so much more that we've already covered or we'll cover during the next 2 hours, Nicholas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So where would you like to go? We've got lots to get to. Let's get to this Jordan story because this is very interesting to me. We were talking about the fact a couple of weeks ago in getting into just overall profitability, signature shoes. We said that, you know, for as good as James Harden's been, there's, you know, I don't know how well his shoe's doing, and I don't know how popular a lot of guys that have had signature shoes in the past have really been. Well, there's no disputing Michael Jordan because the numbers are out, and when you look at the numbers of brand Jordan for this year, it is staggering. Brand Jordan is bringing in $4.7 billion with a B in revenue year over year, up 31%. MJ made $90 million as a player. He will make more than $150 million this year from Nike. And Nike hit an all-time high this morning. It's up 50% year to date. And obviously the pandemic was last year.
Yeah, but the pandemic helped him.
Needless to say, business is good.
I mean, if you go up 31%, I mean, the pandemic obviously helped him. I mean, the pandemic, his company was definitely pandemic-proof. I guess he gets a cut from the Kobe shoes, too, right, when he passed away.
No.
He doesn't?
No, I mean, he gets all Brand Jordan stuff, and then as they normally do it, the player signature shoe, you get a amount of money, and then you get a percentage of the paraphernalia shoes and otherwise that have your logo on it, like the LeBron logos or the Kobe logo or all those different logos. So that's how they cash in.
Okay. I didn't know. That would be even more interesting to me if he was getting a cut from, like, Kobe shoes or any of these other greats. But, no, I mean, the guy's doing well. $150 million just in 1 year.
Yeah.
He's basically, like I said, he's basically making a max contract each and every year, and he's not even playing basketball. He hasn't played a minute in how many years. So that's impressive. But the brand is a brand that probably will never go away for a very, very long time. So
everybody, I mean, I'm talking about from the lady that cuts my hair that has sons to all these different people I interact with that say, my kids want Brand Jordan stuff all the time. So, I mean, I don't think it's going away anytime soon. And maybe you can access, because my internet's down here, but if you can access part of the article that I tagged at the start of that is the fact that they stacked up the different signature brands of the different players with signature shoes. From MJ to Steph Curry to LeBron to Kobe and all those. And when you go down and you look at it, Michael Jordan with Brand Jordan, annual earnings just from the signature shoe deals, $130 million for MJ. You think LeBron's right on his heels? Get it, shoe talk? No, LeBron, $32 million. About one third of what MJ's pulling in on his signature shoe. Third, Kevin Durant at $26 million. Fourth, Steph Curry at $20 million. This is shocking to me, especially since Kobe, since passing away, really had a lot of guys want to honor his legacy. But they said, currently, Kobe Bryant was at $16 million, but after he passed away, it may change things to finish out the year. Harden at $14 million with his shoe, Zion Williamson at $13 million, and Dwayne Wade with Li Ning. I didn't know that D Wade still had a shoe. $12 million. That's a good. I mean, for a non-mainstream brand, D Wade pulling in $12 million for Li Ning is not a bad pull.
It's not bad at all. I wouldn't mind taking $12 million, but look at Zion Williamson getting more than Dwayne Wade at $13 million. That means I feel like his hype can be. I mean, the sky's the limit for that guy. If he really turns out to be as good as everybody thinks he's going to be, like if he's like next LeBron-ish, he'll be up there, man. Like I don't think he'll be Michael Jordan. I mean, I don't think you'll ever see that because there's too many deals being given right now.
They announced that deal and then his first shoe late in the season. So the fact that he's already on the map like that with Harden and an established brand, and he's only $1 million behind Harden in terms of annual earnings for a shoe that has come out in the last couple months, that's damn good.
That means he's on the right track.
Right.
He's on pace to be, yeah.
These aren't going to be the Ewings or the Dream Etonics or the Starberries. These are going to be, I mean, it's backed by Brand Jordan.
Well, and based on the stat sheet that we're looking at right now, it looks like even if you're the best player in the game, you're probably going to max out at about $25, $30, maybe $35 million a year in terms of what you can get in 1 year. Michael Jordan just has a competitive advantage that no one will ever have, I don't think. And they're giving shoe deals left and right. There's players in the league that some people don't even know about,
yeah,
and they have a shoe deal. So it's a much more saturated market. So Michael Jordan's definitely going to have the competitive advantage for a very long time.
Well, and I think that shows when we start talking about it's all about the legacy and the overall umbrella, both on and off the court, that lead you to start talking about the greatest of all time. When you talk about just how that, like you said, that brand transcends, that identity transcends, that it's one thing to say he was the greatest player of all time, but when it transcends into business, and people forget, too, that he's still the owner of the Charlotte Hornets. So it's left, right, and sideways, Michael Jordan. Now LeBron has his brand. And we'll see longevity-wise how long LeBron's brand carries through when he's done playing. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy. All the other guys we listed are still playing. Michael Jordan's been done for how long? And he's still raking it in.
That's what's crazy to me. That's crazy to me that he can do that, man. That's like – but look, I mean, a brand, when you have it – when you're that – when you're ahead of the game and you're one of the first to do it and you actually play well, it's like – I mean, you just bolster your brand so much more. I remember when Dana was talking to Connor and was like, you know what, if this guy can fight half as good as he could talk, this guy is going to be an absolute star, a multimillionaire, and make some serious, serious money. So when you have such a good brand and you're actually good at what you do, it just bolsters that company so much more. So good for Michael.
Other news out of the NBA before we get to some baseball and some other things. The Mavs are finalizing a deal with Jason Kidd to return to Dallas, this time as the head coach after two different stints playing for Mark Cuban and the Dallas franchise. It now looks like Mark's going to turn the reins over to him. Jason Kidd is rumored to be putting together his staff as we speak, and he should be announced rather quickly now that Rick Carlisle has not only exited the building but has signed on to be the coach of the Indiana Pacers. Your thoughts on that one?
I love the fact that they hired me. I don't know if it's a good thing for him, but I think he just wanted to get out of what it seems to me is a toxic situation over in Dallas. I don't know if that's the case, but it seems like he wasn't happy there. I think he's a very highly respected coach. He brought him a championship over there in Dallas. He was there for a very long time. I just question that market. You know how I feel about that market.
Are you good with? But you think Kidd's the right guy for Luka? Because here's the thing: they play the same position. I think individually, he's going to be really good for Luka in terms of
letting him
his
play.
Maturity and learning the league and how do you do things on and off the floor. Here's where I question it: Jason had a real problem in Milwaukee with playing favorites, with using the media to try and deliver messages to his team, with kind of unequal treatment and unfair ways of getting his points across, that you hope he learned from his experience in Milwaukee so that he doesn't do that the second time around, because that's a good thing that's gotten on a good path quickly in Dallas. And based on everybody that's left, it's at a real fragile state where you make sure Luke is happy and make sure you got the right guy.
Well, obviously Jason Kidd is a likable dude, so maybe Luka is going to be really happy about it. The one thing that made me question about Jason Kidd was him getting that head coaching position right after retirement. That was the first thing that I thought was a bit of a red flag, which you never know. Some people are made to do that. The other thing was that little cup incident. Remember the cup incident?
That's what I mentioned earlier in the show today. They didn't have any more timeouts, so he threw the Diet Coke on the floor.
I did not like that. I mean, I guess you do whatever it takes to win, but that incident told me, I was like, are you really a good NBA coach? But maybe he is. Maybe he turns out. Like, relationship-wise, I think that's going to be perfect for Luka. Development-wise, I'm concerned.
But you like it if he doesn't get caught. Because if he doesn't get caught, it's like replay review giving you the timeout you didn't have. If you don't get caught for throwing the soda on the floor and people said you just made a mistake, but yet you got an extra timeout and a play called out of it and it helped you, people are like, damn, that was smart, dude.
I mean, he took it a step further. He told his player to run into him on purpose so he could drop the cup. Like,
right.
So he basically shoulder-to-shouldered him, and then he dropped the cup on the floor, and they're like, oh, water on the floor. Referee needs to call a timeout. I mean, look, we'll see what happens. Again, the reality is a lot of stars out here, and I don't know if Luka is one of them because he's so young in the game. They need that player's coach type of – they need a player's coach, like Mike D'Antoni. James Harden certainly needed that, and that's why Mike D'Antoni was a better fit. I don't know if Luka's that guy yet. I think it's kind of hard to be when you've only been in the league as long as he has been, because – normally, the divaness kicks in at about 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road. But you never know. You never know. But
it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, because you mentioned Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni, Becky Hammon, Chauncey Billups, second interviews in Portland. I think Mike D'Antoni's the right guy for the Portland job, because they need someone that gives them hope that they're going to take the world by storm and capitalize on Dame Lillard's talents. But I think that it's win now with Dame. I think Becky Hammon taking a job for the first time, or Chauncey Billups taking a job for the first time, I don't think that's the right scenario for a guy that's so adamant on either we win and win now and you do the right things around me or I'm gone.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's too fragile for the other two, and I think that D'Antoni would actually fit that role.
I think D'Antoni would fit that role a lot better, for real. I really believe that. And that's not to say that I don't think Becky Hammon deserves.
Right, exactly.
She totally deserves a shot at becoming a head coach. She knows the game. She studies the game. She's looking at video all the time from what I've heard and seen on reports. So I totally understand that. So I don't think they'll miss out on an opportunity if they don't. Completely miss out on an opportunity if they don't sign her. But that does not mean that Becky Hammon doesn't deserve the gig. All right. I got to tell you about this fight. Davis versus Barrios. Four-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis will take on a career-defining challenge as he sets his sights on capturing a title in a third weight class. That's right. He's going up two weight classes, and he's facing WBA super lightweight champion Mario El Azteca Barrios, and that's all happening Saturday, June 26th at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta. Showtime pay-per-view event beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. The event is promoted by Mayweather Promotions, GTT Promotions, and TGB Promotions. Tickets for live events are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and available at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. So don't miss it. Gervonta Davis, 24-0, against Mario Barrios, 26-0. He's going up, Davis, that is, going up two weight classes to capture a third title in boxing. And you can get the tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Showtime pay-per-view, the event beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's Gervonta Davis versus Mario Barrios.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Richmond Arms, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go as we continue to roll through hour number two of the show right here on the Press Box, coming to you live from Richmond Arms. You're going to love this place. It is awesome. It's got a great feel to it, like a neighborhood bar. It's got a big open area so you can sit around and hang around and meet new people. And if you want a little bit more privacy by the fireplace so you can cozy up like my boy Paul, or you want to just kind of hang out with Clarence and Donna and the Boxers, hey, everybody's here for you. The promo team's here for you. We're going to have a good time, talk about a lot of things. Just a little FYI for you guys and all the news of the day that we normally like to do. Here's a little update for you from the College World Series. Vanderbilt has two pitchers that are studs, including Al Leiter's kid. Vanderbilt slipped up in their opener and lost to NC State. So now they're playing in the Final Four today against NC State. Only one problem. See if you've heard this before. Health and safety protocols come into play. However, it's only affecting one team. NC State, who doesn't need to win but would love to eliminate Vandy, is down to 13 players. Vandy is playing at full strength, and now they take the field.
That's crazy that they only got 13 players, man. But what are you going to do? This is a one in, like, you can't just postpone the College World Series. I mean, you can't just give up on that. You got to play it. So Tyler just told us about the story in our ear right now, and I'm looking at it on Twitter right now, and they're giving us an update. It'd be incredible if they pulled this W off. I mean, if they get this win, that'd be amazing.
It would be cool. I mean, look, I keep an eye on college baseball for a lot of reasons, but those two pitchers that Vandy got could go 1-2 in the draft, and they are the real deal. But the fact that they were handled by NC State the first time, even though the Vandy got 15 strikeouts in the game, that tells you how good NC State is. That's what bothers me. If NC State is truly the better baseball team and they're forced to deal with an uneven playing field and they're the team that has the upper hand with not having lost a game yet,
it does wonders for their program. But it does wonders for the other program, though.
Well, it does. And here's the thing.
But what are they doing? 19 positive tests. Jeez, like, what's going on? This is such a weird disease, virus. I mean,
it is, because they've been having full capacity at the stadium, at Johnny Rosenblatt. The fact that there's tons of people, it could happen from anywhere at any time. And then to punish one team and not the other, and I understand the tests are the tests,
yeah.
But what the heck's going on?
Yeah, I mean, when they decide on the rules about what they have to do in terms of protocols, whether or not they cancel a series or a game, and they put those rules in place beforehand. So once those rules are in place and the playoffs and the College World Series begin, and that same way for at the college level and the NBA and the NFL as well, once those rules are put in place, you have to abide by them. So if someone tests positive and you have enough players to play, you can still play the game. The game goes on. The series goes on. And unfortunately, one team has to be underhanded and understaffed. It's just the way it is. So,
hey, I want to give a shout-out to one of the texters who reminded me. I thought I said this on the air, and I didn't, but I would be remiss if I didn't point this out. One of the stats that I gave on the Astros today as it regards to Yordan Alvarez and the fact that in only 151 games of the first 162, he now has more home runs and more doubles than anybody else in the history of the game. Do you know where that stat came from, Nick?
Who?
Came from a guy. Let me see if I can paint the picture for you. Came from a guy that I thought was a very trusted baseball guy, a guy that I thought I was going to like right off the top, a guy that I thought was willing to fight the system and stand up for what's right, even in the face of how many people want it to be wrong, and a guy that would never back down until he did. And his last thing in his tweet said, I'm going back to numbers. Ryan Spader. He went back to numbers.
Yes.
Thanks for the numbers, Rye guy. Would have been a little bit more enjoyable had you stuck to your guns on the other stuff, on the cheating.
I just wish I saw the messages that were being thrown his way, whether it was via text or email, because you know he was getting the business. You know he was getting all kinds of threats about his job and everything. But, look, he's sticking to stats for sure, because I followed him for a little bit, and he's not talking anything in regards to the sticky substance or anything.
But let me just give you a little of this. He's not talking about the sign stealing. But now if you follow his account, because I followed him the minute he started doing this, going, okay, I'm with you, bro. You got big cojones for doing what you're doing, and I'm glad finally someone's vindicating it wasn't just the Astros. Well, so I started following him. So now on my timeline it pops up, he is feeling real good about doing podcasts talking about pitchers cheating with sticky stuff because he knows MLB is the one leading the charge to stop all the sticky stuff. But because MLB gave him a little pushback on the whole, hey, here's what happened on the cheating thing, he took the high road, and I still got a problem with it.
Regardless, he is going to benefit from it because, look, when I followed him, he was at 41,000 followers. Now he's officially at 65,300 followers. I mean, the guy gained 20 at least, for just from what I've seen. He might have had less than 40,000 followers when I started following him. So he probably gained 20, 25, maybe even 30,000 followers just from this one incident. So he's definitely benefited from it, and he can do podcast numbers and stuff like that, and maybe that helps him. But it's unfortunate for the Astros fan base, of course, but it is what it is.
It's just, you know what, I would have liked, because I've been kind of asked after this for quite a while, I would have liked for him to be the hero we all needed. By the way, Mike Fiers needs more shot and some more examination on his arm. Probably going to be out another at least 4 weeks. Shocker there. If he ever pitches again, we know it'll never be against the Astros. But the hero we all needed that I kept saying to you was a guy like this, a guy that had some credibility in the baseball world, but a guy that had sources that were also credible that could kind of just do, look, and I continue to say this, the Astros cheated. I know, I get it. I've never wavered on it. But they weren't alone. And this was the way that everybody could just turn the page and get past this, just like they're dealing with the sticky stuff. But instead of all the pitchers facing everything with the sticky stuff and the spider tack, you have one team taking the hits for everybody else. And the biggest teams, which he was on with, remember when he said worldwide with the with the Yankees, Red Sox, and Dodgers, that's why MLB was being more protective. Everything made sense that he was saying. The fact that he suddenly walked it back, that's what got me, man.
Yeah.
That pissed me off.
And it should. It should. But, you know, there's a political game to be played, and that's why that happens. I'm not good at playing politics, so that's what happens. But that's just the way it happens. But you know what? If someone approached me and said, stop doing this because we're going to fire you, I mean, chances are I would probably stop doing it, man. Especially when you got mouths to feed and stuff like that. Now, he seems like a young cat.
Yeah.
He seems like a young dude. He didn't seem like he was in his 30s. I could be wrong. Maybe he just has a good profile pic. Because even dudes are doing the filters
now. No, he's doing the podcast with the hat on backwards, looking hip and cool.
He looks pretty young to me.
Yeah. And I mean, he did some military service, but I think overall you're right. I think that he seems like a younger guy. But I think that's also probably why he worries more about his reputation and being in. He's just establishing himself from an MLB perspective. If all of a sudden, you know, they take his credentials away and they stop putting him on MLB Network and he stops getting the run, it probably has more value that he keeps that than any credibility he would gain in a 24-second news cycle where he was the guy that broke the story, and then when it goes away, you lost everything and have to go to a real job.
See, normally if you backtrack like that, like if there was no social media, if he backtracked, like, say, in the 90s and did that, his career would be over. But because there's social media and stuff like that, you can still reamp your career. You can bounce back. You can kind of move on from your mistake. But back in the day, when the only media that you can consume was television, radio platforms, and newspapers.
Yeah.
If all three of those platforms blacklist you, your career is done.
Oh, it's done. That's what I'm saying. You get ready to sell insurance.
But here you still got Twitter, you got Instagram, you got YouTube, you got all these video platforms, so you can kind of save yourself. So in this way, it's kind of weird. That's why the whole media game has completely changed. Even from 10 years ago when I got into it, it's just a completely different dynamic, man. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's a weird game.
It really is. And again, like we said, everything is magnified by the 24-second news cycle. It used to be a 24-hour news cycle.
It's like a 10-second.
And now, yeah, I mean, it's what have you got for me lately and how quickly the story changes. And just like this whole Kevin Durant thing, just when we were talking about what he was tweeting all the way through the night, he suddenly tweets some more. And now he's attacking Jackie McMullen, a established and very well-respected longtime NBA writer and sports writer, Sports Illustrated and otherwise, Boston Globe. So I think that that's just a microcosm of the fact that it was a fear factor.
Yeah.
He got scared. Someone at baseball or more than one said, we'd like to talk to you, brother. You like covering baseball? You like doing what you do on MLB Network? Well, you're not going to be doing it anymore if you keep with this whole narrative that you're pushing.
Should we book him so you can yell at him?
If we could get him again, I don't think he.
But you're going to yell at him.
No, I don't think he's doing any more interviews because he knows that no one wants to talk numbers.
Oh yeah,
they want to talk the tightrope that he walked
exactly,
back.
Exactly. Exactly. And he's not. He's probably not going to come on a Houston platform, especially if they know they're going to go at him.
Because again, he was a hero for a day in Houston, and then the minute right after he did the bench to start backtracking it, people were throwing things and breaking things, going, "No, you dumbass! This is exactly what we didn't need."
Yeah, we cut up like five cuts of audio from the bench, and then right before I could play it, he retracted everything on Twitter. Like maybe 15, 20 minutes before I could play the audio clips. We played it anyway, but before I could play it, he retracted everything that he had said. So
yeah, it all had a shelf life of about as much as the 24-second news cycle. I mean, it was there, it was gone, and then all hope was dashed for Astros fans who thought, finally, no matter how good they're playing, this could help to finally put it to bed once and for all. And instead, it was the wake-up call that every Yankee and Dodger fan needed to keep on going with the narrative, because now you saw that Dodger fans are out there again saying the Astros are playing a little too well. They're scoring a little bit too many runs to start thinking they probably still have more
help. Of course they're cheating.
Yeah.
Man, that narrative is not going to go away. It's just
old, it's tired, and the fact that they continue, that's why the discussion we had yesterday, which was valid and completely perfect on so many levels, on so many topics, but the one on baseball when we were talking about it, in the fact that the only way to make this go away, and you were talking, I thought, you know, if they continue to lead the league in all these offensive categories, if they roll into the playoffs and they have a deep run, I was questioning you, did they have to win it all to validate 17, or is that enough for them to say, okay, there's still really good baseball players doing really good things? And I kind of lean with you that I think they got to win it all to really put it
to bed. I think a World Series is necessary. Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to continue to fly through the show. Already 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show on deck, and we're going to have plenty of things to get to. It always includes you guys, though. So whether you're doing it on Twitch and Twitter or on the HR&P listener line for calls and texts, we're here for you. It's Nick and Joel, and together with the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Richmond Arms, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box. We continue to roll. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's Nick and myself as we take you all the way up until 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Great way to start your weekend, and you can do that by joining us at Richmond Arms. It has been voted the number one soccer bar in the city of Houston. But on top of that, there's just so many other reasons to be here. Our promo team is here first and foremost, giving away a lot of goodies in terms of gift cards, T-shirts, koozies, your opportunity to win that Traeger grill at the end of the year. Clarence is here. Donna's here. If you are boxers that are constantly on our Twitch feed and otherwise, you realize our loyals are here, so you can kind of see, put a face with a Twitter name or a Twitch name on top of that. And then with all the soccer going on in Euro 2020, it starts getting into that knockout round tomorrow. And on Monday, you got Croatia, Spain, and France, Switzerland. On Tuesday, you got England, Sweden, and Germany and Ukraine. You can just watch with the peeps that are other soccer fans like yourself, or you can actually book a place in within the building to watch it with a party. All you got to do is go to richmondarmspub.com for all the details.
I'm trying to find this catch that Tyler was tweeting about in the Vanderbilt game, but I can't find it on Twitter. But apparently it was like a really amazing catch. And for those of you who are just tuning in, because of COVID protocols, they're down to how many? 13 active players because of 19 positive tests in this College World Series game, which is absolutely crazy. But that would be crazy if they're able to pull off the win. I can't find the catch anywhere, Tyler, but maybe they'll put it up on Twitter eventually.
Yeah, I found a still of it, like a picture of it. I'll send it to you.
Right, I think cool. The thing that I find most interesting is if you're not, and most people aren't, college baseball aficionados.
They're not, but.
But what you do know is, just like we know top prospects in the NBA draft, you realize that Al Leiter's kid in the number one and number two pitchers at Vanderbilt could go 1 and 2 in the entire college baseball draft, and they're on the same team. And that's rare, and that's something to watch. But then you realize that for as good as those two pitchers are, NC State beat them to open up the College World Series. And NC State is not in a must-win situation today. Vanderbilt is.
Yeah, they have to, because the pressure's on them for sure.
Texas is in a must-win on the other side of the bracket, and that's a hell of a run for them because they've had some injuries. But the Final Four in college baseball looks like it is worth watching, and Tyler keeps giving us updates on that, so it should be interesting to see. Honestly, if I'm NC State, and I'm forced to play with 13 guys against a full-strength Vandy squad, go Wolfpack, baby.
I feel like the pressure's off a little bit. I mean, obviously you're at a massive disadvantage, but now you can just like kind of let loose and play, and you know you're understaffed. All those players who tested positive who are either at hotels or at home watching the game, that's got to be so aggravating to miss out on their College World Series. I mean, just such a one in a lifetime opportunity, and for you to be sitting at home or a hotel, not being able to play, man, that's got to suck.
Did you see this move that this Domino's pizza manager pulled the other day?
No.
So they're in Pittsburgh in the Youngstown area, and they're minding their business making their pizzas at the Domino's shop, and a guy comes in with a mask and a hoodie and a gun, and he wants to hold the place up. So he takes all of their cell phones away, and he locks them up in the walk-in cooler. And the employees are thinking they're in big trouble and, you know, trying to figure out who and when someone's going to come by to get them out of the icebox.
Yeah.
The manager had, just like you, an Apple Watch on. He was quick thinking. He went to the watch. He texted his boss, his sister, and one other, and immediately let them know what was going on. They contacted the authorities. Someone got to the restaurant, got him out of the freezer, and they caught the guy trying to rob another store across town. And the dude is a hero, and it's all because he used quick thinking, and for once, the Apple Watch is a positive, as I tell the people of Houston, as opposed to Yankees Red Sox.
Well, I mean, if you had the Android version of your watch, I'm sure it would do it. That's me being nice to your Android family there. But if any type of watch that's connected to your phone would help you pinpoint where you are and locate them, good on his part for the fast thinking. And to be honest, that's actually a lot more common than you think. One of my dad's really good friends, he was managing a churches in the southwest side of town, and when they came to rob the churches, mm-hmm. they put him in the freezer as well, the human-sized freezer, and he was locked up in there for like 12 hours and survived.
Oh. So the manager said, I was shaking. He had the gun to my head. He said the masked suspect carrying the gun ordered him to empty the cash register and then asked me to put in the password for the safe. I did, and then I said, where it takes 9 minutes, if you want to stay, it's up to you for the safe. He said the suspect, police later identified, took their phones, put them in the cooler, told them he'd be back, but made sure he wouldn't. He locked it from inside.
Oh, man.
So the guy couldn't come back with the gun and try and do even more damage.
Yeah.
But now they're stuck in the cooler, then went to the watch and got the help he needed. Smart move, man.
Hey, I mean, these watches are pretty common. I love my Apple Watch. I don't like leaving. The only thing that annoys me about the Apple Watch is the damn thing tells me to breathe like every 5 minutes. It's always giving me a notification saying, breathe, Nick, breathe, Nick. I'm sick and tired of it telling me to breathe. But other than that, it's a great device.
Does it ever say, hey, fat ass, start walking instead of riding in the car?
They don't want to say that, but that's basically what it's saying. It's saying, Nick, you're very unhealthy.
Hey, Chub
Rock. Get your
Rock.
Ass up and start jogging.
Hey, Chub Rock, time to get the tootsies on the pavement.
Yeah. That's basically
that.
Yeah.
So if you had three lifelines in the cooler, evidently it's the owner, an employee of the pizza place, and his sister. The sister called the police. The employee also called the police so that they were there in a few minutes to verify that it was going on, and the employer got him out of the cooler.
Good for him, dude.
Well played.
As a person who is an absolute wuss when it comes down to cold weather, I would not want to be that person. I do not want to be stuck in anybody's freezer.
So that goes back to what we went through with the winter storm and the power grid and all that stuff in Houston. I would be one that would be more apt to want to deal with the heat than the cold. And it was reiterated by the fact that when we went through what we went through with that winter storm, as we've talked about on the show, to take the girls to stay warm to Target until Target lost power too, and to try and figure out how you stay warm overnight when you got nothing in the house is totally different than you're going to sweat a little bit. Yeah. There's ways you can still stay cool. Right, you can, if you have any kind of perspiration on you and you fan it, it becomes cooler for your body.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm totally all about I'll take the heat over trying to survive the cold any day of the week.
I mean, there's like nothing you can do. And what's in that freezer? Just a bunch of raw meat, right? I mean, just like
cheese.
And
dough.
They put cheese in the freezer, Clarence?
Let's not forget, never suck against the cheese. No, don't sell the cheese short.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought putting cheese in the freezer would be a bad thing if you're talking fresh and if you're a connoisseur like you are.
Okay, but Nick, say that you got a lunch crowd and you're going to leave the cheese out for the dinner crowd and the after-hour drunk crowd. You got to keep it at least refrigerated during the course of the day. You got to keep it refrigerated.
Refrigerated, but not in the freezer.
Could be a song. You got to keep them.
The Offspring song referring to.
All right, I'm just kind of going there for you. It's a Friday. But, no, that's why I'm saying you got to keep – I mean, the cheese is going to – it melts just like anything else. You leave it out in room temperature all day, you got problems.
Yeah, I get that part. I just didn't know people would put it in the freezer. But the fridge, that makes sense. That makes sense to me.
You can squeeze the cheese. You can cut the cheese, but you have to refrigerate the cheese
in order to
be able to use it all day.
Now, that phrase is a blast from the past, cut the cheese. Like, that's what I used to say in elementary school, like grade school. Who cut the cheese? People hear that, and every time they hear that, they're fooled because it sounds so authentic. That's why I never know when you let it rip on the studio.
I mean,
on the fourth floor of the studio.
You do what you got to do to stay undercover sometimes, Nick. So if it's a great – well, don't say my wife's name, Donna, because then you know that she's going to understand that I have tactics that will be exposed. I don't need that.
Yeah, you don't need that. Hey, let's do a food segment coming up.
There, and by the way, use this with Chiquita.
What?
I'm telling you right now. If there's ever a time when there's ever a doubt or you got someone else in the house, just call the dog over and let it fly. You can blame the dog every single time.
And you know what? Chiquita's getting to that age where I can blame at least 30% of what I smell in the house on her.
Well, there you go. So then when you've had you're coming off a bender and you hammered the greasy food overnight and you know you really got a little extra, lead in the tank.
It's gotten to the point where I'm like watching what
call the dog over.
Like we're going to like change what she's eating now because she's getting to that age. Yeah. And it's like, damn, bro. Like, and it stinks. I think little dogs, when they release, it's a lot worse than big dogs.
Yeah, but the joke of the day was always that the guy goes on his first date and he's in the living room with the dad and the dog and he's got gas and he's got to let it rip. But he realizes the dog's at his feet. So he's like, I got an easy out. So he lets the first one go and the dad goes, Fido. And so he's like, oh, he's buying it. So then he lets another one go and Fido. Good God. So he lets the third one go thinking it's going to be the dog. And he goes, Fido, get over here before he craps on you. I mean, that's when you realize dads can be smart, too. That's when Jake comes to my door, buddy.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's what I'm talking about,
that's
Taylor.
Fantastic.
Be prepared. Get the bat right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to hammer him. Sorry, Tyler. Hope we're not off the air. All right, we'll be back with a whole lot more as we continue to roll through hour number two of the three-hour program. It is the Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. No matter what you order, we want you stuck with. I used to love Bruce, but living my vida loca.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
I heard from you, now you call round knock on my door. Yeah, I don't know who you think I am or what you've heard before.
You are listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Richmond Arms. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Rolling through hour number two of the show. It's a three-hour extravaganza we call the Press Box. He's Nick. I'm Joel. We're taking it till 4. Then the Blitz steps in, and I'm sure they'll step up to the bar, and then they'll step up to give you the best in sports and information until 7 p.m. this evening. We are at Richmond Arms if you want to join us. It's a really, really cool spot. As it's always reiterated, I'm the sober one, and I like it, so that means you'll like it too. And if you drink, it's even better. Lots of fun spirits to be had, as Nicholas can attest to. Not that you've sampled any. And your takes are just spot
they're
on
hot
today.
Garbage.
They're just
according
solid.
To some people. They're hot garbage, according to Fred Fowler.
But it's a very, very cool spot. And it has been voted Houston's best soccer bar. Clarence, we don't need your input. So basically, you can stop by and you can watch Euro 2020. You can catch all the soccer games you want to watch with the peeps. You can do that in the masses. If you want to call ahead and reserve a room, you can do that too.
And you can try their wings because I had the barbecue wings and they were fantastic. They've got the traditional. They've got the boneless. I personally had the boneless and they were great. They've got tenders. They've got a whole bunch of stuff.
You've had enough of the bone in for a while. You went boneless on me.
Yep. You know me. I like, the bone in was
getting
a little.
What were you going to say? I just left the door wide open for you if you wanted to continue.
Now, one of the topics of discussion that we always like to have is the food chain on food chain crime that goes on Twitter. You know how Wendy's
The Wendy's is the all world winner. Remember when we discovered that, was it Velveeta was sneaky good?
Yep, Velveeta was sneaky good, and it looks like Wingstop is getting pretty good at this as well because. I guess the Hooters account tried to go at them on Twitter, and I guess they announced the biggest thigh boss, Rick Ross. I guess it's like this new promotion that they're talking about and saying they're not doing wings. And then the Hooters account responded and said, easy to give up on wings when you aren't that great. So the Hooters took the first shot.
Right.
But they got help from so many people. Like one response was, not a single person has ever said, let's go eat at Hooters. One person said, the waitress carries your restaurant over there. Nobody cares about the wings. The other person said, imagine pulling up. No, this is actually from Thigh Stop. Imagine pulling up to the comments trying to get your clout up. I mean,
now,
these
can I
Twitter
ask a question?
Exchanges between these chains are being, they're just getting better and better.
Did they change it legitimately online temporarily to Thigh Stop, or they just did that because everybody was talking about with the chicken shortage that they've committed to at Wingstop using thigh meat as well?
I don't think so. It might be just a separate account altogether.
Yeah, I think it was part of Wingstop because they're having some fun with their own selves, knowing that with the amount of issues with trying to get enough chicken these days, that they're actually going to use serve thighs as well. I mean, my easiest answer was if I'm going for thighs, I'm going to Hooters, but it's not has nothing to do with the chicken.
I mean, Wingstop is good. I mean, they have wings. So to launch a thigh stop, a thigh-only company, it's just an expansion. It's an extension of your brand, right?
It is it's a separate account. They also – I think the thigh stop thing is only delivery or pickup. Like, you know how most Wingstops you can go in and, like, you can actually sit inside?
Right, right.
This is only delivery or, like, basically just to go.
But it's an extension of Wingstop. So.
Yeah. Rick Ross, I was talking to AJ about this because he actually got it, so you can ask him more about it. But I guess Rick Ross owns, like, 30 Wingstops, and so he's, like, this is kind of a new business venture just because they are going through a chicken wing shortage. So
it's a cagey move by Rick Ross. See what I did there, cagey. Because of the fact that he's capitalizing on trying to find a different little niche to get through this dilemma with the chicken. But let's all be honest, fellas. I mean, I used to frequent Hooters a lot, but it was because of what was running around in the little orange shorts.
I used to like Hooters wings. I liked them
a lot. And the white tank tops.
But we know you're a horn dog, Joel.
I used to be, Tyler. Now I'm a husband. So you know what? I've tried to scale it back.
But the thing is, back when I was enjoying Hooters wings, there were a lot less options.
Good point.
In terms of wings.
Fair point, right?
And that's why it was easy to say, you know what? Hooters wings are not that bad. Some people used to actually say Hooters wings are the best. But now that there's so many different wings options, like there's no way you can even rank them in your top 10 now, in my
opinion. It's like the chicken sandwich. It used to be that there was, you know, for a really good chicken sandwich, you only had a few limited options. Now everybody and their mother's doing chicken sandwiches, and now they're taking shots at everybody else. The fact that Kentucky Fried Chicken was, like, late to the game to finally do a chicken sandwich is a joke.
KFC, Popeyes, even Whataburger now has a chicken sandwich. Church's has one.
Remember the whole – and when the Popeyes one came out, it was like if they ran out, and they did run out frequently, but if they ran out, people were, like, taking it out on the employees at the restaurant and like pulling guns on employees if they didn't get their chicken sandwich. It's not that serious.
People are stupid, though. People are just
they really are.
It comes down to that stuff. I can't believe people. Pollo Campero was like that, too, when it opened up years ago on Chimney Rock over by my dad's shop. But that, I mean, people were throwing fights for that. It literally went across the intersection of Chimney Rock and Bel Air Boulevard. That's how long the line was. But people get a little. They're basically the same people who do that are the same people that fight over toilet paper when there's a shortage or a pandemic or something like that at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the same people that fight for wings.
It's just
chicken.
Dumb, right?
Yeah, it's just dumb.
Like if you or like I get it that you might have a buzz going. But if the drive-thru gets your food wrong, it's not about, at that point, everything tastes fairly decent. It's about just getting it in your system so that you can stabilize from all the alcohol. I used to live that life, Nick. I know.
I'm slowing it down myself, so it's not like I'm doing it every day. Yesterday was an exception, I guess. But
I mean,
I felt pretty good in the second 3 hours of the show, of the shift, basically.
Yeah?
Because I slowed down on the coffee liqueur. Which was fantastic.
Oh, did you sample some of that? Did anybody else have any of it?
The coffee? No, it was just me. I was the only one.
You were the
drinking.
Only one drinking. That's what I thought.
No, it was just me.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Nobody from ESPN 97.5 were drinking. It was just Nick Chiraro. He was the only one drinking.
And they would never.
At the distillery.
You're absolutely right. They would never. And why would they? As we get through hour number two and get ready to get into the final hour of the program, we'll keep you updated, thanks to Tyler, on that College World Series game that's big. But what you need to know is your Astros are going for 12 in a row tonight, and Fromber's on the hill. I'm feeling pretty good about it, Nick. I feel like if you're going to look to tie the franchise record for wins in consecutive wins in a season, I know Grinke's been good. I want Fromber because he's been better.
Yeah, I think Fromber's – I mean, I want Fromber to do well every time. I mean, I Grinke at least – He's done better than I expected him to do this year. I mean, I never thought he was going to just absolutely crap the bed or anything like that, but he is doing better than I expected. And a lot of teams have given him credit after his performances. So, Framber Valdez, though, man, I mean, that's the guy that you want to do well. I mean, he's more part of the future than Grinke is.
Hey, Tyler, we were talking about – this is how I bring it all together for the peeps in hour number two, but we go from chicken sandwich to the Astros in baseball to those honey butter chicken biscuit jerseys.
I like them.
They're pretty – I think they've had to reorder a couple times now in terms of their popularity.
Yeah,
I like them. You know, most times I hate commercializing with the logos on the NBA jerseys and all the crap, you know, and overpopulating the jersey with logos. That's a phenomenal, phenomenal idea.
But here's the thing:
they have since rebranded, though.
But if it's
what do you mean?
A minor league team. Like they go through.
Yeah.
So that was to coincide with like Whataburger's whatever. 45th or I don't know what their anniversary was, but it was to coincide with their anniversary. Now they are the Coastal Bend, Hooks.
Coastal Bend instead of Corpus Christi, right?
Yeah.
Coastal Bend. It's like the throwbacks we were talking about yesterday I think they did what they needed to do because it became a marketing powerhouse, but the fact that you can kind of, I say indiscreetly, bring in a sponsor. I mean, it is obviously the uniform, and it looks just like the
Whataburger.
But at the same time, the fact that people didn't criticize you for doing it and instead wanted a jersey, it's pretty good play.
Well, location has everything to do with it. Here's my question to both of you, Tyler, too. Something tells me that if it was an In-N-Out burger, and I'm not trying to initiate this massive debate between In-N-Out and Whataburger, but if it was an In-N-Out jersey, I wouldn't like it. But because it's Whataburger, I like it. I actually like In-N-Out Burger just as much as Whataburger.
Ooh,
like,
Nicholas.
I do.
Oh,
I agree with Nick.
Look.
I like In-N-Out Burger just as much as Whataburger. But if they had the In-N-Out Burger uniform, I wouldn't like it as much. I like it because I grew up with Whataburger.
I wasn't born in Texas, and I think Whataburger's head and shoulders above In-N-Out.
Nah, it's not head and shoulders. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Really?
It's not.
Yeah, it's
too. It's about the same.
In-N-Out is remarkably consistent, like anytime you go. And Whataburger, like you go to one and you might not get the same burger that you get at another one, just depending on the day. Yeah, like Whataburger is horribly inconsistent whenever it comes
freshness,
to
freshness, because you know the whole Whataburger, we don't make them till you order it kind of thing.
Fries
that doesn't
are always
factor
bad.
In.
I was wrong about the fries, because when you do order the fries to go, and Barry Laminack is the one who told me. I didn't really notice it because I just love fries so much, so I guess I'm not like picky about it.
Right.
But like by the time I got to the house, they were definitely different. You get what I'm saying?
Well, if you're not eating at the restaurant, You fries need some air flow
not
in
McDonald's.
Order to stay fresh.
Not McDonald's. If you can take your McDonald's fries 3 blocks, 4 blocks, 5 minutes away, and they're still crispy and good.
My
that
chef
is, a fact.
Is over here. The same way Clarence was giving us tips on how to preserve cheese when freezing it. I need to know.
Really?
I've been told that fries, in order to stay fresh when you leave with them in a takeout situation, need air.
Yeah.
He said
they do. He said they need
steam
air.
Steam in the bag, you make them soggy.
Yeah. But I would imagine
you do have a point. McDonald's doesn't.
Yeah, I guess that what separates fries from other chains is, can they withstand the road when you go home? Will it still taste fresh? And I think McDonald's does a better job than Whataburger, at least. But again, this became a Whataburger versus In-N-Out versus McDonald's discussion, which I wasn't trying. All I was trying
it's
to
fine,
say was that the In-N-Out burger, the In-N-Out jersey would be something I would not like or would not appreciate as opposed to the Whataburger
jersey.
Now,
you know what the kicker as we get ready to end the second hour of the show would be?
What?
If putting cornstarch on the fries in McDonald's was the key ingredient to keep them fresh until they got home. I don't know. I just said it would have been the perfect kicker. It may not be, but you know what? A kicker is a kicker unless you're a Texans fan. All right, we'll be back. We've got 1 hour to go in the program, 60 minutes on the show, two in the books yet in the rearview mirror, and one in the windshield still to go. We're going to have some good times with it. Lots more stories to get to. And again, because we're bringing it full circle, you guys mentioned the minor league baseball team. I have the top 15 minor league baseball team names currently in use for you guys to scrutinize.
Okay.
We can get to that and a whole lot more. We get to the final hour of the program. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.